Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we got, at least for me anyway, it was 8 out of 12, 8 winners, 4 losers. And those are always tough. Primaries are tough, 8 out of 12. And so there's Fred Von Cannon on Facebook Live. Huge props to Gina. I'll explain that in a second. He was one of the winners. Congratulations, Fred. That's awesome. Fred's been on the show a lot recently. And then E.C. Sykes was a winner, North Carolina Senate seat, Senate District 18. Fred's in House District 34. Ashley Cecil, she won. That was North Carolina House 34. These are all people that were on my personal list. And then North Carolina Court of Appeals District 11, Michael Stading, he won. North Carolina Court of Appeals District 9, Donna Stroud, she won. North Carolina Supreme Court Associate Justice, this is a huge deal. That race. Trey Allen, he won. That's great. My buddy Chad Slotta down at U.S. House 13. What an incredible man of God. His time will come. But Bo Hines pulled that one off, which is fascinating. I'm going to ask that question today. At 26 years of age, is Bo Hines too young? Madison, or anybody else, this isn't particular to Bo Hines. Madison Cawthorn was 25 when he went in. Too young? What do you think? Minimum age for the House of Representatives is 25. So what do you think about it? Is that just too young? I mean, 25 today is not exactly a 25-year-old in 1789 when they wrote the U.S. Constitution. So he won that one, Bo Hines. And then Courtney Giles, who are really going to support hard coming through the summer into the election in the fall, going up against in a blue area over there in Durham, Chapel Hill area. And then Adina Softa, man, she fought hard. Adina's the one that was born in Romania. Her family came over. She fought hard. But that went to Christine Villaverde. And then my buddy Mark Walker, great man of God. He served in Congress for 3 terms in the House. Did not win the U.S. Senate seat. That went to Ted Budd. So we're going to do whatever we can to help Ted, because that is a seat that the Republicans cannot lose going into the fall. So now we turn the corner, and this is where we all have to kind of get over it, get over the losses, and come together, conservatives. And now you have a team that's going to be on the field for this November. And that's where a lot of people struggle, right, to make a decision. You're like, I forget it, because there's some people that aren't as conservative as others that win, and people that you don't particularly like that win. But then when it comes to some of these races, it's important, especially when you're looking at the federal level. But I will continue. You've heard this recently here in North Carolina. 3-2-1. Okay, not 3-2-1 fire. Not 3-2-1 blast off. 3-2-1. Let's make North Carolina an ardently pro-life state. And God willing, Roe versus Wade will fall. And then it goes to the states. And we have to have, in the next 2 years, Governor Cooper is still in charge here in North Carolina, and wherever you're listening, you might have the same problem. And the Republicans right now in North Carolina do not have a veto-proof majority, so they can pass all kinds of great legislation in the North Carolina legislature, controlled by the Republicans in the House and the Senate. But then it gets to Governor Cooper's desk, who's an uber-liberal, wouldn't even sign the Infant Born Alive Act. So disgusting. Pray for the man. We need to pray for these people. All right, I can get really disgusted by Governor Cooper. I think he's an empty suit intellectually, yada, yada, yada. But he is somebody made in the image of God that Jesus died for, and he needs Jesus just as much as anybody else. And God loves him just as much as he loves any of us, those of us in the family of faith. So we need to pray for these people. Yes, speak truth to power and criticize when necessary in as strong as possible terms as necessary when required. But pray for them and care about them as individuals made in the image of God as well. But you got to take his veto away from him. And the only way you do that is you have to, here in North Carolina, and you better make sure you understand in your own state, if you're listening somewhere else, what's the deal? What's on the line this fall? So in North Carolina, we have to pick up 3 seats in the North Carolina House. We have to pick up 2 seats in the North Carolina Senate. And we really need to pick up a seat in the Supreme Court and switch that to conservative control, because a legislatively drunk liberal Supreme Court, state level or federal level, will legislate from the bench. They don't care about the rules of the game. They just care about ideology. And so you have to be able to flip that too. So I'm going to praise the Lord big time. God willing, this Roe versus Wade decision actually comes down. And boom, it goes back to the states. And here in North Carolina, conservative in many ways. But with Governor Cooper and the governor's mansion, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many conservative pro-life people you have in this state, because Governor Cooper, all he has to do is veto it. So you have to have a veto-proof majority, which is why we're going to do whatever we can to help across this state, where we're really the only North Carolina-focused Christian talk radio show in the state on multiple markets and around multiple stations around the state. We're the only one. There's a few other Christian broadcasters like Michael Brown down in Charlotte, who's awesome, but he's on in several different markets around the country. So his focus, while he does talk about North Carolina issues, predominantly he's on a national level. So he's got a national focus. That's how I used to be. And then just felt the Lord was like, hey, bring it home. Let's focus on Jerusalem and Judea. What's right here in our own backyard. So we're really it. We're the only North Carolina-focused statewide Christian radio show in the state. And so we have an opportunity to push on these things and speak into it and get candidates on, and rest assured I will. Which, by the way, if you see the value in this show and this particular platform and you want to help us out, we hit the tough season when we get into the beginning of the summer in terms of finances. So we have our summer event coming up at Prime Barbecue, my favorite place, as you know, here in town, Knightdale. And that costs some money to put one of those on. It's about $25-$30 a head to do that. But if you want to come to that and you can donate more than you eat, because that's the point, to be brutally honest with you, if you're like, hey, Steve, I can only give you $20. Well, don't come. I love you and I appreciate your support. Pray for me and send $20. But don't come eat a $25 meal and give $20 because we just lost $5. That's just the reality of the situation. So it's Thursday, June 9th. And if you would like an invitation to come, we've been sending them out to our regular people here locally, but that doesn't cover everybody. So if you'd like to join us on Thursday, June 9th, an incredible night of barbecue, incredible full meal at Prime Barbecue. It'll blow your mind. You'll get blessed, and hopefully you'll bless us back by helping support us financially. Just send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com, and I'll send you an invite. steve@thestevenobleshow.com. I'll send you an invite. Come join us. It's going to be an awesome night. We got a lot to cover when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world light up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So it's good to be on the other side of the primary, but we have to gear up for the November election. Lots of things going on at the federal level, taking back Congress, hopefully the House and the Senate, to neuter President Biden for the next 2 years. Same thing has to happen here in North Carolina. If you live elsewhere, South Carolina, or if you're up in Virginia, you're over Utah, wherever you live, and you listen or watch the show or listen to the podcast, make sure you understand what's at stake this November. Not just at the federal level. I know the federal level's sexy and everything. That's what we talk about all the time. But we really are going to have to start focusing on a state level much more than we ever have, at least in my lifetime. We talked to Steve Dace about that last Friday. Because he's talking about, and I agree, listen, you're not going to have some national divorce. I don't think we're going to have Civil War 2.0, but I do think this idea of two Americas is going to get more pronounced. And like Florida, under Ron DeSantis, has become much more red, remarkably so. It's going more red than Texas. Texas is pushing towards purple because every big city in Texas is blue. One day you're going to see the state of Texas become purple, then you might see it turn blue. Because that's where the population centers are. And so you're going to have red states and blue states. And Steve Dace's point, and I agree with it, is red states need to get redder. Red counties need to get redder. Red cities need to get redder. And then you just live the way we're going to live. He brought that up. Hey, if somebody goes into John Adams' hood back in the day with some British nonsense, that's not going to go well for you. You're going to get tarred and feathered. Forget it. We don't want your junk here. Not buying what you're selling. Go to California, go to Colorado, go up to Wisconsin, whatever. But we don't do that stuff here in North Carolina. And that's why, like with the Roe versus Wade issue, we need to be a pro-life state. Now you go right up the street. Virginia, I don't know. Virginia will be up for grabs because the leadership has changed there. But District of Columbia, no, that's going to be abortion central. New York, abortion central. California, abortion central. Colorado, abortion central. Michigan, probably abortion central. Wisconsin, probably. On and on and on it goes. Massachusetts, abortion central. And you're going to have two different Americas. And the way you establish that and just live with that reality, as sad as it is to get really focused on local elections. So we're going to be talking about that a lot as we push through the summer and into the fall. By the way, I saw 2,000 Mules the other night. My wife and I are taking a vacation at the end of this week, so I won't be here Friday through Tuesday. Back for a day, then off for a couple more days because we've got a bunch of things going on with kids coming into town right after that. But I do want to talk about 2,000 Mules at some point. However, 2000mules.com, that's Dinesh D'Souza, looking at, it's really pretty powerful evidence gathered through cell phone records to showing you all these people, they call them mules, like mules down on the border, cartel mules, who are dropping off ballots to these ballot drop-off boxes in the six hot states from the 2020 election. You're not going to overturn that, by the way. But it is very compelling. I mean, I was like, okay, this looks really bad. Some politician somewhere, some investigator, somebody's got to pick this ball up and run with it. So that's 2000mules.com, which you've only been able to see online. But it is going to be in 400 theaters May 20th, which is just a couple days. That's this Friday. So go to 2000mules.com and check it out for yourself. I know we have a couple theaters here in the Raleigh area. So that's going on. But I want to come back to this question because I'm curious. So I want to open up the phones. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's my question. Is it time to amend the U.S. Constitution to change the minimum age requirements for representatives? Okay. So for the president, for example, you have to be 35 or over to be the president. To be in the Senate, you have to be 30 or over. To be in the House of Representatives, you have to be 25 or older. That's why Madison Cawthorn got in. Bo Hines is 26. He just won. He's getting in. And I'm not saying anything about somebody's character. I'm just saying at 25 or 26 or 27 or 28 or 29 years of age, are they old enough to be in that kind of a position? Are they mature enough? Do they have enough life experience? Are they wise enough? Or do you think we need to pump that up a little bit? I'm curious to see what you say. I asked my own civics students just this past semester when we got to this part of the course about minimum ages. And they had about 80 to 90% of them had the same opinion. Now I'm asking 15, 16, and 17-year-olds the question. Do you think these ages are too low? I got into an argument recently. 866-348-7884 is the number. What do you think? Are those ages too young? Just generally speaking. 35 for the president, 30 for the Senate, 25 for the U.S. House of Representatives. Is it too young? Are they just kids? Do they need more life experience? That's not enough wisdom. Or, hey, man, we need more younger people in there. We need their perspective. Is that your job when you go serve in the federal government? Your perspective? Is that enough? The fact that you're young? We need more young people speaking. We need more young people in politics. I agree with that. But do you need them in Washington, D.C.? Do you need them in Congress? What do you think about that? Are those numbers too low? 866-348-7884. This is a very serious question and should affect how we vote and who we support. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. 25 in the House, 30 in the Senate, 35 for the White House. Is it too young? So you got Bo Hines at 26. He's in. Madison Cawthorn, who was 25 when he got elected, he's out. And tough race out there in Western North Carolina. I was hoping our friend Michelle Woodhouse was going to win. That just wasn't God's will in this case. So Chuck Edwards, who served in the North Carolina State Senate, won, but barely. He won by about 1,300 votes. Chuck got 29,411 of votes, and Madison Cawthorn got 28,092 votes. It's only about a 1,300 vote difference, not even. That's right around there. That's very tight. I'm actually surprised that Madison didn't fight that, which maybe is part of what's going on with Madison. He's had a lot of trouble in the last few months. a lot of bad press, bad decisions, things from his past. It's really kind of sad. And hopefully he takes this push away from the table and work on Madison. Forget D.C. for a while. I don't know the particulars. I'm concerned about it, but is it too younger? So the House is the youngest, 25. The U.S. Senate, 30. President of the United States, 35. Are those numbers just too low? Do we need to raise them? 866-348-7884. Hello, is anybody there today? Anybody out there? Hello, knock, knock. 866-348-7884 and 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think about age and serving this nation in D.C.? Again, 25 is the minimum in the House, 30 is the minimum in the Senate, and 35 is the minimum for the President of the United States, White House. So what do you think about that? And some people are going to be like, hey, it depends on the maturity level. True, there can be some outliers. Can you have an incredibly mature, wise, experienced 25-year-old? To me, that almost sounds like a contradiction in terms, like an oxymoron. But is it possible? Sure. But am I going to bet on that? Do you manage anything based on the exceptions to the rule? Or do you have some general principles? Really, I'm curious to see what my friends on Facebook Live are chiming in. But you out there on the radio, I want you to chime in. So give me a call. Just curious to see. I'm not going to get in an argument with you. You never need to worry about that here on the show. I don't do that. That's boring. It's blood sport. I'll let a bunch of other obnoxious talk show people do that. I don't do that. I'm just, come let us reason one to another. But I am curious, do you think that's a problem? Madison Cawthorn is 25. Bo Hines just won his primary last night. He's 26. Is it too young? And I'm not talking about them specifically. I'm not making a qualitative statement about them. This is a quantitative statement about the age. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Talking about ages, just because Madison Cawthorn lost, he went into Congress at 25. Bo Hines won the primary last night here in North Carolina. It's 26. Are these people too young? Is 25 too young? 25 is the minimum age in the House. 30 is the minimum age in the Senate. Okay, so what do you think about that? Do we need to raise that? That would take a constitutional amendment, but I'd have to raise it. The average age in the House of Representatives is 58 right now. Okay, average age 58. Average age in the Senate, 63. So in the Senate, you don't have very many people, like hardly anybody's near the minimum. John Ossoff, a Democrat from Georgia, 33 when he went in. And Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, 41 when he went in. Okay, but only one person in their 30s. And then in the House, you got about 12 or 13 that are in their 30s. Out of 465, so, you know, 435. So you don't have a lot of youngsters in there, but should we have a minimum on it? What should the minimum be? In the House, it's 25. In the Senate, it's 30. Is that too young? 866-348-7884. Just a little constitutional civics kind of question today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mike's calling in from Southport, North Carolina. Mike, thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Concord, North Carolina.
Oh, Concord. Yes. Great. Thanks for calling.
Yes, right outside of Charlotte.
Yes,
sir. I love your show. I go to work early so I can leave early so I can listen to you.
Oh, that's awesome. But, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. I think they need to be older. You really don't learn life until you're at least 40 and above. I know that's probably pissing a lot of younger people off.
Sure.
But when they get older, they will understand.
Yeah,
because,
I think we were all
wisdom comes with age,
right? I think we were all pretty self-impressed in our 20s, like we knew something.
Yes, and now we realize we didn't know anything.
Right.
So that we get
in the House, you know, the Senate's a more exclusive club. That's why it's a little older. So they're 30 there, but 25 in the House. What number would you go with? What would you be comfortable with generally, Mike? As a floor, a bottom number?
I would say across the board, raise it up at least 5 years.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to afford that lifestyle. That may be a wrong way to say it. They don't get paid a whole lot. I've got a really good friend that is a great representative. Unfortunately, this is his last term running. He doesn't make anything.
Is he in the state house or the state senate?
He's in the state house.
Oh yeah, those guys make like $14,000. They make
literally. Yes, and people don't realize that. People think they make bukus of money. You know, I'm all the time to anything I can do to help him. Yeah. So you really got to have the backing to be able to do that, the support to be able to do that.
Yep.
That just a 25-year-old, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Unless they're independently wealthy, and then they're not going to really want to be there. If they are, they're there for a goal to get more wealthy. They're not there to help.
Yeah, and some people might say, well, you know, we're awfully cynical for thinking like that. I don't think we're cynical. I think that's just wisdom.
I've experienced it. I've seen it, lived it, felt it. I mean, you know.
Yep.
I know enough good politicians out there, and we do have really great politicians.
Yep, we've got some good ones out there.
Bad ones, but we got some really good ones, and we need to pray for them. We need to constantly pray, help them, door knock for them, do everything we can do to keep them in office. Because everybody thinks that, or almost everybody thinks, politicians are just evil people.
Yeah, not
all
of them.
We got some good ones that are keeping Jesus in the office.
Yeah, that's right. That was a great point. Mike, thanks for calling, man. Thanks for your encouragement.
No,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. We also homeschool, so.
You're welcome. That's
awesome. I do appreciate all the work you've done. Thank
Absolutely.
You, man.
Thanks, pal. You're welcome. Thanks so much. Let's jump over to Rich. And Richard's calling in from Zebulun, not too far from where I am right now. Richard, thanks for calling. What do you think on this one?
Hey, Steve. I think that my thought is, what was the average lifespan back when they wrote the Constitution?
Yeah.
40? 45?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, and on that point, Richard, because I got into an argument with a very young person on Facebook. I think she's probably 20 or 21. And she's like, well, the founding fathers were like in their 20s. And I'm like, a 25-year-old in 1790. Isn't the same as a 25-year-old today, to your point.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. And the thing is, what was the average age or the average death age in 1776? And then just back that up to 25 years, and what does it say? 40%? 25 is 40% of the average lifespan?
Yeah.
So take average lifespan now is 75.
It was, I just looked it up. It's 38.
Okay.
Life expectancy of a white male in 1776 was 38. So if you're 25, it's like you're in your 40s.
Right.
Or older.
No. 38 is the life expectancy, and 25, that's 18 years. And when you're 30, you've almost lived two-thirds of your life already.
Right. And if the average life expectancy now is almost 80. So we're talking about a 60-year-old at that point.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, and it's about what they are. You said in the Senate, the average is 58, 60.
Yeah, 63 in the Senate.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have an age, but I would say at least 40.
Yeah.
For the Senate, and I might even go with that with the House.
With the House,
same thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there's
That's a great point.
There's a lot more stuff to think about than there was in 1776. 1776, sailboats and muskets, and that was it for defense.
Things are a little more complicated today. Richard, great points, man. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
Okay, Steve. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's jump over to Max calling in from Alabama. Max, I appreciate you calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. I'm just calling from Foley, Alabama, and we were in the early days of the homeschool movement up in Montana back in 1985, homeschooled our kids all the way through, and I think it was always our hope in that homeschool movement that our kids would grow up and at early ages go in and take those roles as representatives and senators and all that because of the way they were trained up. I know my son was thoroughly equipped at 25 to speak up for the causes that we care about. So
yeah.
I'm a big fan of homeschool and what they bring to the table, but I know that's a very small section of society at large. So,
yes, and that's the part of the society that the Noble family has been in for 17 years as well. And so you can have exceptions to the rule. I completely agree with that. But you know, you and I both know that exception's a pretty small group. But they're out there, and so that's what that makes it a challenging question. That's right. Max, thanks so much for calling in. That's a great point. I appreciate it.
You bet. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 866-348-7884 is the number. Too young? 25, 26, 28? What do you think? What if you're going to put a minimum age on it? And Richard had a great point. You go look back, the lifespan in 1776 for a white male in America was 38 years of age. So if you're middle-aged at 38 is the lifespan, that's the average, then at 19 you're middle-aged. Well, average lifespan today for a male in America, white male, I think it's going to be a little higher than a black male, unfortunately. But let's say I think it's about 78. So halfway through 78, right, you're at 39. 39 today is halfway. But 19 in 1776 was halfway. So you have to compare apples to oranges. That's where there are a few things, not many, but a few little details like this in the Constitution that I would say are dated. Because at 25 years of age in 1776, that's a big difference than a 25-year-old today. So if you're 25 in 1776, man, you're halfway there. So that's your average 39-year-old today. So, but I think that is an issue. And I think we see it. And you can get people like Bo Hines had some family money, so he had some ability to self-fund. And to the other gentleman's point, to Mike's point, in the state legislature, they don't make squat, like $13,000, $14,000 a year. That literally is, you gotta have some level of success that you can afford to go spend a decent amount of time in Raleigh and only get compensated about $13,000 or $14,000 a year. You get to D.C., nah, it's a whole different gig. It's about 160 grand. Okay? You're okay. At 160 grand a year, you can spend as much time in D.C. as you want. And you probably can't buy a house up there, but you can pull it off, right? So what do you think about the minimum age? Is it an issue? Should young people just be barred? And like our last caller, like Max said, there's going to be some few exceptions to the rule. But should you manage the future of the nation based on some exceptions to the rule? They're out there. But if a 25-year-old's ready, why not let them wait till 30? Because they'll be even more ready then, right? They'll have 5 more years of life experience. Does that matter? Do we need more young people in there? Because we need that young perspective? Well, I don't know about you, but when I was 25, I wasn't nearly as smart as I thought I was. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Did you look at the market today? Oh, man. What a bloodbath. Dow Jones Industrial today down 1,164 points. S&P down 165. NASDAQ down 566. As a percentage, the Dow Jones Industrial just today down 3.57%. NASDAQ down almost 5%, 4.73. And S&P almost 5%, 4.04% down. That's a huge one-day hit. Just brutal. So the stock market's paying attention to what's going on. We've got inflation. We've got more interest rate hikes coming, several more this year. And so we'll continue to talk about that with David Fisher and then my good friend Steve Lewis. LNA Capital Advisor. Steve and I used to do some radio together, and he handles the Noble stuff on kind of the regular stock investment side. And then I talked to David about precious metals and stuff like that. But we're going to get Steve in here to kind of help us understand what's going on inside the stock market. And he's always looking at the details. This isn't your dad's stock market. Okay. It's not your father's Chevrolet anymore. It's complicated. And can you, how do you even protect yourself going through this nightmare that we're going through? Because if you look at the year to date, I mean, it's brutal. It's just been a terrible year for the stock market. If you go year to date, you know, wowza, it's down 13.3% year to date. Okay, 13.3%. So if you're retirement age and you've got stuff in regular investments, you're getting hammered, and that's not good. And the Biden administration is not doing anything to help the vast majority of us. So, and now I heard a story earlier today talking about gas prices could go up to, right now, national high record, right, for like $4.50 a gallon, could go closer to $6. You get to $6 a gallon for the average across the country. That's what, $9.50 a gallon in California? For family vacations, those are done. Could start crossing all that stuff off, and then that takes more money out of the economy. People with work and situations like that, and then the price of all goods getting shipped all over the place, gas and diesel, those go up. This is recession territory, okay? A serious recession. So that's one of the reasons I'll always try to remind you, we need to be praying for those in authority over us so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. I would add to that, affordable. So these are very, very difficult times we're in, which is why yesterday's election, the primary here in North Carolina, general elections in November are so important, not the least of which we're talking about the issue of life. We have been talking about minimum age today, and I think most of our callers have been like, yeah, we need to raise the minimum age. Remember, it's 25 in the House and 30 in the Senate, 35 for the White House, and it sounds like most people in the House, I'd push that up to 30, maybe even 35. In the Senate, I'd go 40, personally. And the president, 45. And people are like, we need younger people and their opinions. Yeah, work at the state level. But the stakes are, the issues are too big in D.C. to have somebody that has barely any life experience, got out of college 3 years ago. And they can be really great people, full of the Holy Spirit. But you still don't have that many years of actual life on your own, out there living on your own, having to live under a budget 2 or 3 years, and then you're going to go deal with a country that's $30 trillion in debt? I'm not comfortable with that. So, by the way, I did ask this question to my high school age homeschoolers, and you have been hearing on the show the ads for Noble U. So I've been teaching for 10 years high school age homeschoolers here in town in Raleigh. I teach in Raleigh, and I teach in Cary. And I teach a 2-semester civics constitution class. I teach now a 2-semester, just added this year. It was awesome. What a great experience. God is so good. A 2-semester U.S. history class and a 1-semester Christian ethics class. So that's Raleigh and Cary. I still have some openings in those classes. I'm going to have like 8 classes that I teach this fall. So you can go to NobleUSchool.com to check that out. NobleU, the letter U, school. .com to learn about that. But we also offer those now online. At least I offer U.S. history and civics online. So what happens is your student watches whenever they want that week's lesson, and they're going to watch the class that I just taught because I'm a radio guy. I'm always using the news of the day, which really helps to make civics and U.S. history come alive for these young people. It's relevant. It matters if it's taught well. If it's just a stale textbook, which is just about all of them, if not 100% of them, it's the delivery mechanism that's important. The information's there, but you remember learning history and stuff. It's just dates and names. You're like, why does this even matter? Okay, it was interesting. It doesn't matter today. Yes, it does. But you got to have somebody that's got the ability to make something that happened 400 years ago relevant in 2022. Well, you're listening to one that can do that. That's why I do this. It's clearly a calling that God has placed on me. I've had over 600 students now in the last 10 years, and it's growing. So we wanted to make it available online, so if you want to find out about that, NobleUSchool.com. But it's so important. So I asked my students when we got to this particular part of the course, it was this semester, and I said, what do you guys think about a House member being a minimum age of 25? What do you think about that? And a bunch of, do you think that's too low? And all these hands went up. About 80, 85% of my students were all like, that's too low. I said, well, why? And one of my students immediately said, you're still stupid when you're 25. I was like, okay, stupid's the wrong word, but I understood what they meant. I'm like, okay, well, not stupid, but what? Okay, inexperienced, immature, lacking wisdom. Right, okay. And these are 16 and 17-year-olds. Now, after a semester and a half, they're got pretty good critical thinking skills. And they're like, yeah, that's an issue. Just not enough life experience. You can be have great character, high intelligence, full of the Holy Spirit, but you still don't have much practical experience. And so they saw it. And I was like, yep, I'm with you. Too young. Which that means somebody like Madison Cawthorn would have never gotten in. AOC would have never gotten in if I'm going to push it up to 35 in the House. And then Beau Hines, who just won the primary last night, wouldn't get in at 26. And I don't know these people personally, so I can't make that judgment. But I can make a pretty sound judgment based on their age. Not just not enough life experience. Unless you come from a poor family and you've been digging yourself out of a hole since you were 14. Okay, that's an exception to the rule. There's not a lot of those out there, by the way. So that's my opinion on that one, okay? All right, I mentioned 2,000 Mules. Let me unpack that a little bit more. So with 2,000 Mules, which now that's the Dinesh D'Souza, looking into the potential fraud, large-scale fraud nationwide of the 2020 election with Trump and Biden. So Mules, they use that word, 2000mules.com. They're opening in 400 theaters. It's only been online for the last week, but 400 theaters nationwide this Friday, the 20th. Mules, using the language from the southern border. So what they did is, you know, your smartphone, I'm holding up my iPhone right here. You know these things know where you go, right? All that information, all these different apps, all these different services we subscribe to, and you say, yeah, I agree to the terms and conditions. They're tracking you. And you can go, then there's companies that buy that information and turn around and sell that information. So this group that's part of 2,000 Mules, it was True the Vote, hired a guy who's a data analyst, kind of a FBI type background type person. And they literally bought tons of information, especially for the six states that were up for grabs with the election. And literally they built a program. They said, okay, we're going to overlay all this tracking information for all these individual cell phones. All right. So they know where all these cell phones go 24/7. And then they compared that to all the locations of drop boxes for ballots. Oh, that's interesting, right? So this is hard information. What makes it even more interesting is by law, there's supposed to be cameras at most of these locations. So they actually have some footage from cameras at these drop boxes. So somebody pulling up at 2:30 in the morning that they've tracked, and they were saying, let's find every cell phone that visited at least five drop boxes in a day. Now, why would anybody go to five drop boxes in a day? Are there some legitimate things out there? Maybe. But five a day? 10 a day? Oh. Well, that's interesting. So they literally, that's how they came up with this number across six states. About 2,000, they called them mules, people that were visiting at least five drop boxes a day. And you add that up, if this is nefarious, okay? And they also overlaid it to not-for-profit organizations that were involved in pushing the voting, right? So political not-for-profit organizations. So they overlaid they're visiting at least five drop boxes a day, and they're showing up at least once a day, I think it was, at these not-for-profit organizations that are trying to get the vote out, who are all on the left, obviously. And now that's real, that's a smoking gun. Then you got video footage, and if they're just dropping off five here, five there, we're not talking about a stack of 100 ballots. Five here, five there. Like, just look, here's one. This was in Michigan. So they identified by these phone records and the Dropbox locations about 500 mules, people that were going to at least five Dropboxes a day, 500 of them. Let's say they made over the course of the whole campaign 50 Dropbox visits per person, and they only dropped off five ballots every time. That's 125,000 votes, potentially illegal. I noticed that, Tom. They didn't give the name of the nonprofits. That's where you got to poke holes in this stuff. Just because it's Dinesh D'Souza and just because you're convinced that the election was stolen doesn't mean that the movie is true on all points. That's not critical thinking. You're just being political. You need to be a critical thinker. That's a great point, Tom. That would be a potential 125,000 illegal votes in Michigan. In Wisconsin, 14,000. In Georgia, 30,000. In Arizona, 20,000. In Philadelphia alone, 275,000 is the potential legal votes. That's how much mule activity there was. That's why it's worth seeing. Critical thinking, right? We'll be back tomorrow with Theology Thursday. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.